Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we consider the important subject of stewardship, the things given to us to take care of, and this is part two. And so let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you do not leave us unattended in this world, but through your Son Jesus Christ, you have provided your Holy Spirit for your people, who guides us into all truth. Help us now as we read your word and consider its direction. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading for this day is Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30, and I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus speaking says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with the 2 talents also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Just to there. And may God bless his word to us always. When we think of the church, we ought to see it as God's instrument in the world through which he would declare his salvation through Jesus Christ his Son. But the church does not exist to proclaim the gospel only, but to live it out as well, to take up the vocation that God gave Adam and Eve, as well as the children of Israel, to care for this world as he would care for it. We saw how in part 1 that it all starts in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31, when God made humankind in his image. And part of being created in God's image means people are God's representatives on earth. One could correctly argue that this is every person's responsibility, since this was given in the very beginning. And if so, how much more then the church's responsibility? In part 1, we also considered the word stewardship as what the church is called to do, namely to take care of the things given to us along with the rest of humanity. Stewardship is thus defined as the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. From a biblical perspective, then, we are caretakers, for in Psalm 24, verse 1 to 2, we read that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Thus, ownership of all things still resides with God, and we therefore orientate our thinking and our actions in light of this statement as caretakers or stewards. Of course, the truth is that humankind has not been the best caretaker of this earth and its inhabitants throughout the ages, and sadly, with the exception of a few instances, the Church has failed in numerous ways as well. This is more evident with the arrival of the age of mechanization and industrialization from its beginnings to the present. Humans have been quite adept, in the name of progress, at exploiting the environment and others, so that no one is completely innocent in this matter. But this can change, and there have been changes in nations over the last number of decades, including the Church, as it has realized afresh its stewardship role in terms of God's first command, which outworked means to take care of creation, to live in this world neither as oppressor nor as suppressor, to set free, to lift up, to enhance life, and to live in harmony with others and the rest of creation. Let's consider our text, which has a different focus on those things given to us to take care of. We find that the master of the household has given each person talents, speaking of large sums of money, according to their respective abilities, in the opinion of their master. And we know how that worked out for each of the men. From this parable, then, there are a few important aspects that are apparent for us to note. First, if this parable speaks of being caretakers or stewards, which it does, then it is clear that this is not a passive activity. There is a need for ongoing monitoring, managing, and innovation. The master of the household expected them to take what was given to them and do something constructive with it, to make it grow, not like the man who simply buried his master's money. The kind of caretaking we understand from this story calls us to active use of the things entrusted to us, in this case, abilities. Second, we need to acknowledge that every one of God's people has abilities or gifts, whether they are natural, that means innate, or learned, whether they are employed for use in the workspace, at home, in the church, or in other acts of service. And once we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we come to know that such gifts are not for our own consumption alone. They are not ours to create a comfortable cocoon in which to exist in this world, far from the harsh realities of this life. Rather, they are to be employed in such a way that there is some way to share our abilities in ministry for God's purposes. Our abilities and gifts are to be used, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism points out, to fulfill the chief end of man, or the main purpose for our existence, namely, to glorify, or better put, to reveal God and to enjoy Him forever. What better way to reveal God, His love and care, by employing His gifts given to us for the purpose of caring for our world and others as God leads us? As we do, there will always be enough for us to get by. And so we must be sure that God knows just how capable we are and how wonderfully our gifts and abilities are able to be employed for His glory, and that they don't have to be that spectacular. Thirdly, we discover that God has entrusted us with such gifts and abilities as to make an impact on our world in His name. There are those, however, who spend their time using their gifts for their own consumption. Others are relentlessly engaged in empire building and self-promotion, as though it is their ministry, their calling, their gifts, which function outside of and apart from the body of Christ. Now in the parable, each servant had to see their stewardship in a context, as those in the employ of a master of a household. In the same way, God expects that we understand our abilities and gifts, whatever they may be, to be something that originates from Him and is given to us for His glory, whether it is learned or an inborn ability. And the context or household is this world which belongs to His kingdom. Which brings us to our final point, that our service as stewards of things given to us to take care of functions under the accountability of the body of Christ where applicable, or before the Lord Jesus Christ in other circumstances, for example, when it comes to our professions, and the church does not always play a direct role in people's lives. In the parable, we notice then that each individual was to give an account of what they had done with their abilities and gifts. This has significance for the church, since we belong to God and are accountable to Him as His people. So, whether our gifts and abilities have been squandered, or whether they have been put to excellent use, if there is no accounting for those things here on earth, we can be sure that there will be an accounting for them before the Lord. This is made clear in the parable, which, by the way, is not about the final judgment, an event that is reserved for those who have rejected God's offer of salvation through Christ. Rather, it is about an accounting of our stewardship before the Lord, and the harshness of the master portrayed in the parable does not surely reflect the outcome of a believer who has failed to make use of his or her gifts and abilities. But it certainly gives us some idea of how God might feel about those who get by in this world and enter His presence by the seat of their pants, so to speak. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, said the following, "His work, that is, the work of a servant of God, will be shown for what it is, because the day, that is, the day of the Lord, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work." Says one commentator, "The day of judgment is when Christ will judge the quality of His servant's work. It is not a question of salvation, which is a gift, or a matter of individual deeds, but of service, which is judged on the basis of quality, not quantity." In another commentary, we see the following. While the third servant's description of the master as a grasping capitalist is not meant to be an allegorical description of God, God does expect and reward creative use of the opportunities for service which are open to us. If we mistakenly view God as a hard taskmaster, it will be hard for us to respond to Him in a loving and open way. We are to use His gifts responsibly, but also adventurously. That is the way to be ready for the return of Jesus. And so to end, there is not a place we may find ourselves where we will not have the opportunity to exercise our abilities and gifts so that we may positively affect those things around us that we are to take care of. May God help us then to be the joyful stewards or caretakers that He calls us to be. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You have given Yourself to us as Creator, through Christ, and in the Spirit. And so receive our lives, we pray, as an offering to You, so that by the power of Your Spirit, we may see what it is You call us to do in a world desperately in need of good stewardship. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I do hope you will join us next week for part 3. God bless you.